Well, welcome this morning, Good Friday. It is the day where we come and we remember what has been given on our behalf, that we would know life and know it in its fullness. And we are people who come with living hope, knowing that death, as hard as it may try, has absolutely no claim on us any longer, that we rise again in faith in Jesus, and we celebrate that today. And I know our kids are going to have a good time celebrating that truth as well in their program. So kiddies, I think you guys are going to go and shoot off now with Shelley and go and have some fun, and us big people are going to just listen to me bang on for a little while here. I make no apology if you can't see me through the cross this morning. That's kind of the point. My hope is that you would not hear what I have to say necessarily, or see anything of splendor here, because there ain't much to see. But in fact, you would behold the cross of Jesus this morning and what he has done for us and what he has won for us, and the incredible vision of love we have in he who gave his all for you and I. I'm going to read to us this morning, and you can follow along on the screen, John 19, most of it. And so this is the story of Jesus being delivered to be crucified, his crucifixion, and ultimately his death. And so read along with me this morning, and then I'll take a little bit of time just to unpack a couple of thoughts for us this morning. John 19, verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate, addressing the crowds, he said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." And when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again, and he said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" And Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." And so when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out, sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus and they went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him and with two others, one on either side and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which said, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." And so the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that it was now all finished, he said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Now, since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they may be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. Lord, I am grateful for your word as it shows us the enormity of your love. That the lengths that you have gone to, the suffering which you endured, all is a display of the love which you have for each one of us. And God, as we sit with the weight of what happened to you in this text, Father, I pray that we would come with grateful hearts that would receive the amazing gift of grace that is you who have given your life for us, in Jesus' name. You know, there are moments in life that carry a significant weight about them, that carry beauty, that carry power, moments that change everything, moments that change the course of history. And Good Friday, the story of Jesus' death, is one such moment. Today is the day that we remember the King who came not wearing a crown of gold, but a crown of thorns. A King who was not shown honor that was rightfully his, but a man who was degraded and humiliated. Not a King who was revered, but a King in this moment who was reviled. Not a King who was lifted onto a royal throne, but lifted onto a Roman cross. A King not prevailing with power as one might expect, but a King coming in lowliness and in humility, holding peace in his hands and not a sword. A King not guilty but innocent, a King not boasting in treasure or triumph, but who begged for a sip of water as he breathed his last, a King who came not to demand service but to offer his life in service of all. This is the story of Jesus, the suffering King who came to save. From the beginning of the biblical story, blood and water have been more than just physical elements. As we see Jesus in this last moment of his death being speared in the side and out came blood and water. These have been symbols of salvation and life. They are, in a sense, a kind of divine poetry, which God has spoken again and again and again throughout history. In Egypt, it was the blood that saved God's people. It was the blood of a lamb that had been painted above the door frames and on the lintels of their doors and their homes as the angel of death passed over Egypt. It was blood that saved the Israelites from destruction, blood that shouted, "This house is covered." And then in the desert, as they wandered for 40 years, it was water that sustained them. Water that came from the rock, struck by Moses. It flowed to refresh the thirsty, the forlorn and the worn out wanderers. It was water that poured out from the rock that declared, "Here you will not die of thirst." Blood and water, elements and symbols of salvation and refreshment. But these elements, though they were never just about Egypt or the desert, the blood and water in those moments were pointing forward toward another lamb, toward another rock, toward another moment. And as we have just read in John's Gospel, centuries later, this time not in Egypt though, nor in the wilderness, but along the dusty streets of Jerusalem, a new exodus was beginning. This time, Pharaoh wasn't the one enslaving people, it was sin. This time the slavery wasn't physical, making bricks, hour after hour enslaved under Pharaoh, but this time the slavery was spiritual. And this time God's rescue plan was not a staff in Moses' hand, but a cross on Jesus' back. And here's the good news of Good Friday, that Jesus, the sinless one, the unblemished lamb, the living water, came to set us free. You know, the fact that from Jesus' side both blood and water flowed is not just biology, this is prophecy. Zechariah, he foresaw this moment when he prophesied, "A fountain will be opened to cleanse from sin and impurity." Flowing from Jesus' side wasn't just a mix of bodily fluids. This was a prophetic declaration. Heaven was speaking again in the poetry of blood and water, that His blood had been shed for the forgiveness of our sins and the water of life has been poured out for the refreshment of our souls. And in His death, Jesus became our Passover lamb. His blood not painted on doorposts, but painted on the hearts of all who would believe. So too now that death would pass right over us. He had become the rock which was struck in the wilderness of death, pouring out living water for all who are weary and wounded and dry. Today we remember King Jesus, who came as a suffering servant, robed in mockery, not majesty, not lifted on a throne but a cross, pierced, whipped, ridiculed and rejected, and yet through it all, through every wound, the love of God poured out of Him for you and I. He is our King, the one who is here. He is the King who does not conquer with a sword, but with sacrifice. He is the King that does not rule with a strong fist, but with pierced hands. He is the King who does not demand allegiance, but invites us to love. In 1 John, he pulls this all together and he says, "This of Jesus. This is he who came by water and by blood, Jesus Christ. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That we come to remember and to be caught up in the story this morning, that he came from heaven to earth with the gift of salvation and the gift of refreshment, that we all would have life eternal, now and forever. And the author of Hebrews also reminds us by saying this, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then though through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of blood of goat or calves. No longer other sacrifices would do the trick, they are saying, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. That is good news on Good Friday. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer could sanctify and bring purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We remember today that Jesus is what no other substitute could possibly do. He is the saving King who came to save with water and with blood. And so I want us to come to the table this morning, the table of communion, and to remember and to drink the juice that reminds us of the blood that was shed for our salvation and for our renewal. And I want us to meet with the King, because he's not in the grave anymore, friends. He is alive and he is here, and that should not be lost on us today who need him so desperately day and time again. That I want us to drink deeply of the fountain that has been opened for you and I, the fountain in Jesus himself, who from him flows salvation and redemption. That we eat and remember the lamb who was offered, and the rock who was struck, and the King who suffered that we may be saved. And so I want you to come, and whoever's in first, you can crack open the bread. I want us to tear the bread and break the bread with our hands this morning and be reminded of what was broken for us. And I want us to take the cup this morning and remember what was offered for us. And I want you to take it back to your seat and hold it together. And I'm going to read a poem called Blood and Water. And I want us to take communion as we finish this poem together. So I invite you, come on down, grab some bread and grab some juice from thorn-crowned brow and nail-pierced side, the crimson stream and water wide. Two rivers met upon the tree and carved a path to set us free. The blood, it spoke of mercy deep, of sins forgiven, souls to keep. It dripped like love in liquid flame. It bore the weight, it took the blame. The water flowed, a cleansing tide, like rain that fell from heaven's side. It washed the wounds, it made us whole. It healed the cracks within our soul. O sacred flow, both fierce and kind, where wrath and grace in peace aligned, you quenched our thirst, you stilled our fears, you gathered every orphaned tear. The blood redeems, the water heals, this double stream the truth reveals, that love is not a distant shore. It bled, it poured, it opened doors. So here we stand beneath the flood, made clean and new by Christ's own blood, refreshed, restored, and reconciled, forever his and forever whole. Friend, let's remember this morning.
crown of thorns placed on his head, knew that he'd soon be dead. He said, did you forget me, Father, did you? Nailed him to a wooden cross, and soon the world would feel the loss of Christ the King before his hallelujah. 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 Hung his head, prepared to die, lifted his face up to the sky, said, I'm coming home now, Father, to you. A reed which held his final sip was gently lifted up to his lips. He drank his last and gave his soul to glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thorny crown, and wrapped him in a linen gown, then laid him down to rest inside the tomb. Holes in his hands, his heart and his side, now in our hearts we know he died to save us from ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Days went by, again they came to move the stone, to bless the slain with oil and spice anointing. Hallelujah. But as they went to move the stone, they saw that they were not alone, for Jesus Christ has risen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
You know, there's many fountains from which we are told to drink from. the fountain of success. You know, how many times have we gone to that one to try and open our mouths and drink from the fountain of success, or the fountain of wealth, the fountain of stuff, the fountain of self, the fountain of desire, the multiplicity of fountains from which we are told by culture from which to come and drink. But we know ultimately when we drink of them, they leave us thirsty again. Jesus said, whoever would come and drink of the water I have, the living water, they will never thirst again. And so, friend, my invitation for all of us, myself included, is will I say no to the fountains that will only temporarily quench my thirst, or will I give myself underneath the flood of that which rains from Jesus? Where the blood and water, the fountain flows, that I would drink and find life. Life and hope for today, and life and hope for eternity. And so, friend, I put it to you that this Easter, not to let the moment pass you by, to ask the question, from which fountain will I drink? From the one that will run dry, or the one that will last forever? This was not a well that was opened up just the other day, but an ancient well full of deep love that has flowed right beneath the story of humanity since the very beginning of time. And the Lord tapped into that well by virtue of His Son and opened Him up that we would be saved and be refreshed by the water and the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I look forward to being with you on Sunday because we know that the story does not finish with Good Friday, but we look forward to the resurrected hope that we have in that death was, in fact, defeated. And we celebrate that truth on Sunday, which we do every Sunday, mind you, but in particular Easter Sunday to celebrate the truth that the gospel brings life to us. And death has no grip on us, and we'll do that. And we're actually going to begin our Sunday, if you would like to join us, at 6:15 for a sunrise service down at Allura Beach. You'll find us on the sand down there from 6:15. There'll be a short reflection, and if the condition's permitting, it's meant to be enormous swell. We'll paddle out or just jump in, have a swim, or just hang out on the beach with friends, whatever you want to do on that morning. But we'll gather at sunrise to celebrate the fact that the sun did rise. And then we'll be here at 9:30 for our service as well. So I'd love you to join us for both, if not one of those moments together on Sunday. But come and enjoy coffee and some hot cross buns that have been prepared for us this morning. Bit of morning tea on your Good Friday. And go and be blessed, friend, knowing that there is a fountain that you can drink and receive life in all of its fullness. And that is the story of Easter. Amen. Have a great rest of your Friday. And if you are traveling, be blessed, safe travels, and hopefully see you on Sunday.